Matsya, the fish incarnation. Ashva, the horse incarnation. Kachapa, the tortoise incarnation. Nishinha, the Nishinha incarnation. Varaha, the Varaha incarnation. Hamsa, the swan incarnation. Rajanya, incarnations as Lord Ramachandra and other Kshatriyas. Vipra, incarnation as Brahmanas like Vamanadev. Vibhudeshu, among the demigods. Krita Avatara, appeared as incarnations. Bam, your lordship. Bashi, please save. Na, us. Tribhuvanamcha, and the three worlds. Yata, as well as. Adhuna, now. Isha, the Supreme Lord. Bharam, burden. Bhuvaha, of the earth. Hara, please diminish. Yadu Uttama, O Lord Krishna, best of the others.
Vandanam te.
We offer our prayers unto you. Translation. O Supreme Controller, your Lord Sheep previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, a Srinhadev, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parashuram, and among the demigods, Vamanadev, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Please repeat. O Supreme Controller, your Lordship previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Nisringhadev, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parashuram, and among the demigods, Vamanadev, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute. And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus, all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jinam namaskuru, and pray to him for annihilation of dangers. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Miritam Jena Tajmai Dhenama Anjagavadru Vishaka Pasindavya Iva Chapatidanam Bhavani Vyavashna Thank you. I apologize for my voice. I have a cold is trying to get me, but so this is Lord Krishna here. We are reading the prayers of the demigods, and the demigods are glorifying Lord Krishna, and here they are saying that the Lord has appeared in so many different incarnations to protect the entire world, to relieve the miseries that show upon this earth. At the time of Sri Krishna incarnation, there were so many disturbances. The demon race was very prominent in prominent positions. So Krishna had a plan. He appeared to, you know, take care of this. So the demigods are here saying to please diminish those sufferings of the people, because the demigods are always looking for the welfare of the people. So the Lord, to protect the devotees, he comes. And also, he comes to for the non-devotees. The non-devotees also have a chance when the Lord is showing his come as an incarnation to see the past times of the Lord, to experience, to talk about the pastimes of the Lord. So all these the activities of the Lord, they allow the non-devotees to absorb their minds and to purify their existence by absorbing their mind. So Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, And the demigods were very nicely offering prayers and giving Devaki the assurance that nothing was going to happen to Krishna. He is going to come and protect. He is the Supreme Lord. So she was getting that very positive feedback from the demigods, because she was tied in shackles in the prison of Kamsa, and so was her husband. So their situation was very difficult. So Devaki was in need of this assurance. I thought of this is my second time giving class. I think I'm more nervous now than before. Said, oh my, it's Kartik. I ask for your blessings to please allow me to glorify the Lord, and as he deserved to be glorified in the assembly of devotees. In the purport of these, we've been reading, Prabhupada gave a lot of long purports before this verse, and in a purport of verse 36, he said, for persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. So this means that Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to the West, one of the first things he did after, he put out his Bhagavad Gita, and he wrote the Krishna book. He went straight to the Krishna book, so we get acquainted with who Krishna is. So we start purifying our minds by talking about the pastimes of the devotees in Vrindavan. And those pastimes, they, purify the mind and allow us to enter into devotional service. And these, the pastimes, they awaken our desire to serve the Lord. There's devotional service, there's the process devotional service, and there is imagination. So here in this verse, there's so many incarnations that were referred to, the boar incarnation, the horse, the fish, the Srinha, that is a half lion, half man. So this is, for most people, they're fictitious, they're, how to say in the Greek, mythology is it's just imagination, something that people concoct. But the difference between this imagination, imagining that the Lord has some activities, or just imagining it, and to have actually the acharyas giving you the instruction, is that through that instruction of the acharyas, you can get to understand the Lord, and you can get to serve him. You instill in you that awe and desire and affection, and you start appreciating what the Lord as in his incarnations, in his different activities. So Lord Ramachandra, he was in this earth many, many years ago, many, many thousands of years ago, and he's still being worshipped because the people feel in their hearts that reciprocation with the Lord. Now, where does that come from? The Lord, everybody that worships the Lord gets something from it. There's a sweetness, there is that, that rasa that we feel. So we don't feel that by worshiping Obama. A lot of people, politicians are the big thing. So the difference is that the Lord's form is transcendental. And how do we know this? Is that he comes so we can experience what transcendental existence is. There is a difference between transcendental existence and material existence. So by his coming in those different incarnations, the Lord allow us to have the association of a transcendental form. And by doing this, we get to understand the emotions of the heart, the emotions of serving the Lord, and because that awakens the spiritual spark that we all have, that awakens our desire to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord, you know, because when you start love, when you love somebody, you want to do something for that person. So that is the beginning of service. There was one point that I wanted to. The point of taking shelter of the Lord. So the demigods, they've been calling Krishna in previous verses as Krishna is a desire tree. And being a desire tree, why is that? Because how can Krishna reciprocate with the devotees? Krishna is in the heart of everyone, so he reciprocates with the devotees and fulfills the devotees' desire. And the point of taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet is that, and its importance is made. It says the acharyas draw a path. Oh, the acharyas, they draw a path when they are worshiping the Lord. They draw a path, and because the Lord is so merciful, he accepts that path to get to him, so that the connection is made. And anybody following that acharya, also the Lord, by his mercy, also accepts that path. So we are very fortunate. And Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing also in his purports the importance of devotional service. And in this age that we are here, this is Kali Yuga, and one of the most important things that we can take shelter of is guru, sadhu, and shastra. By doing that, we follow the path of the acharyas that came before us, so we are guaranteed success as they were. So that's the proven process. It's experienced knowledge. The speculative knowledge cannot take you to that place where you find the path to the lotus feet of the Lord. Only by following the acharyas and because they have experienced that process, and they know for sure to give us success in our efforts. So the demigods mention the transcendental nature of the Lord's body in all the incarnations. It's very interesting that Lord Nrisimha in Mayapur, he is known as Dr. Nrisimha by many of the locals, because he performs those interesting miracles. People are sick and they come and worship Lord Nrisimhadeva and ask him for help, and he's helping steadily. So now he's becoming famous as Dr. Nrisimhadeva. So this was an incarnation of the Lord, and now we have a deity of the Lord in the temple. Now that relationship, how do you explain that to a person that does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord's incarnations? It's very difficult. It's impossible for a materialistic mind to understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. And the Lord and his devotees, there was this this friend of mine that she's in Vrindavan now, and they're putting on a show for the Lord's pleasure now at the end of Kartik, and she was collecting some jokes, and one of the jokes is like, you know, you're Hare Krishna when you worship as a rope in the month of Kartik. Like, so who can understand that, you know, the worshiping of a rope is a divine, is a transcendental thing? So the Hare Krishnas are pretty odd people, but odd in a transcendental way, because the transcendental path is difficult for a materialistic mind to understand. And very, even, you know, people like second generation devotees, they're not practicing the process. They can't understand the depth that, you know, the love and service of the Lord can produce in your heart. There's no way for them to get that understanding. I know that from experience, talking to second generation devotees, and I have children, and I love my children. They're very nice, but very difficult to understand the Lord's pastimes. Their hearts are, you know, they understand in heart, they have the love for Krishna, but no understanding, because you need to study, you need to apply yourself, you need to understand not only by, you know, experience, but also in your own sadhana. You need to have that that effort, you need to put an effort into your spiritual life, and to put that effort you need to chant every day only by the Lord's holy name, the Lord's name, form, activities, attributes and activities, they're all one with Him. There's no difference. So the Lord's holy name is like associating with Krishna. And who is Krishna? Krishna is, you know, that incarnation that came, that He's the repository of all the incarnations. Krishna, in His own body, He has the Nrisimha incarnation, the Vamana incarnation, the Parashuram, the Lord Ramachandra, they are all inside Him. And He is so powerful. And Lord Chaitanya, He came to give us Krishna. He said, hey, take Krishna. He's, you know, the cause of all causes. It's so simple process, you know, to chant the holy name. Chant the holy name and chant the holy name and you'll be happy. But our minds are so convoluted in trying to enjoy the senses that it creates a cover and you don't see it. Even if it's presented to you, you just can't appreciate it. So we are very, very fortunate to have the association of devotees to keep reminding ourselves that this is where all the nectar is. When we had the Maharaj that came, Sachinanda Swami, with the Temple of the Heart, this temple was full of devotees and there was so much bhav in the air. There was that, you know, the devotees were relishing. Their hearts were so happy to be, you know, associating with Krishna and talking about Krishna with those, you know, meditating. Because when you listen to Krishna's name, form and activities, His attributes, His qualities, you when you finish to read or to associate with that glorification, when you go home and you're driving in your car, you got to contemplate. You got to always think about it. So it becomes part of you. Like, so, and that's how, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to 24 hours a day, you got to chant the holy name even while eating and sleeping. So how does that happen? That happened by your contemplation. Because remembering Krishna is also part of devotional service. And this this remembering is very purifying. But how are you going to remember if you don't understand, if you don't apply yourself and chant and chant the holy name every day? Is the minimum that we have is 16 rounds. It's the minimum. But that's what Srila Prabhupada gave us, and he assured us. We chant 16 rounds and we apply ourselves, so we use the practice the process of bhakti yoga, and we will be successful. He guarantees it. So we have the guarantee of the pure devotee, and there's nothing better than that. So the absolute form of Krishna is none different from his person. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentioned about this point of not being able to appreciate the holy name. It's like a person with jaundice. Jaundice is a liver disease that prevents the person from tasting sugar, from tasting the sweetness in sugar. So when a person is affected by this jaundice disease, the person cannot taste. You give them sugar candy and they think it's bitter. It tastes bitter, literally. So the cure for this is to actually eat sugar. So by little, you start tasting the sugar as the disease recedes. It's the same thing. We have a curtain of conditioning from many, many lifetimes. And Srila Prabhupada, by the Krishna book, he started us in the pastimes of the Lord. And George Harrison, you know, so nicely, he put out the Krishna book way back. And so we had all these very nice personalities enthusing us to read about Krishna and understand and occupy our minds and our senses into the Lord's pastime. Because we were just, you know, born in a material, how do you say, in a darkness of ignorance. We are all born, and when we are born, we have there are two things that come along with us. It's lust and impersonalism. They are with us when we are born. So to counteract this tendency in the material world, we need to load the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And to get the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, we need the pure devotees. And to put in the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada said in the Sri Upanishad, that it was in the introduction of the Sri Upanishad, that if you, not Sri Upanishad, the Upadeshamrita, he said, if you read the instructions, you know, you get purified. But if you follow the instructions, then you're serving the lotus feet of the Acharya. So to follow the instructions, we practice, we read the Bhagavatam every day, we are chanting our rounds, we are associating with devotees, and trying to always see, you know, be like a bee, to see the good in everybody. Because all of us, in Kali Yuga, we have demon and devotee within. So we all have bad qualities and good qualities. And to minimize those bad qualities and to associate with the good qualities in everybody is a very kind way to go about in life. So we practice this association with devotees and trying to being always looking for the positive in people. That will make them be more open to Krishna. Because if you're a devotee of Krishna and you associate with people, if they like you, you know, they like what you're saying to them, they will appreciate Krishna. Okay. So here in this text 40, Srila Prabhupada just was saying that Krishna, every incarnation, has a particular mission to execute. So Krishna's mission was to leave us with this this rich history, rich activities. You know, his pastimes are no different from him. And he left us with all these, 7-year-old boy lifting Govardhan. This is, you know, like amazing, amazing activities that a little boy can do. And he enchanted the devotees, and continues to enchant the devotees' hearts. We have now we have a Westerners going to Govardhan and playing and offering Dandavat Parikram. You know, the Indian people are like, you know, amazed. Because, you know, before Srila Prabhupada, you know, instilled in us, you know, this bhakti lata, there was none of this. So now we have all this this new reality in India that is Krishna is being glorified by white people, you know, non-Indians. And they're taking the practice seriously, and the temples of the Westerners, is the Krishna is glorified every day. There's classes in the morning, there's classes in the afternoon. It's not just come in and have darshan of the deity. If there's activity, there's glorification of the Lord, and by doing this, you know, there's, you know, the rivers of rasa are just flowing, so there's a lot of love going around, you know, transcendental love, and this is what we are all looking for. We all, our nature is to enjoy, and there's no better feeling than to love and be loved. So that is what we hanker for, to have that acceptance of being loved. And we can experience that by glorifying the Lord. Let's see if I have. There's always so much more. Just wanted to say a little bit about Krishna's, this incarnation of Krishna. This incarnation is very attractive because it has a. There's the Leela, Madhuri, the pastimes of the Lord that he displayed, and so enchanting, and also the Prema Madhuri that he, you know, instilled in the devotees the highest love, and the Venu Madhuri is the Lord Krishna plays the flute, and that is. I guess until we're there, we're here. Say that when I joined a movement, devotees were saying that if you chant your Gayatri, very concentrated, you can hear Krishna's flute. So, you know, it was sometimes like you think, I was a young devotee, and I was thinking that I heard one note. And that one note was just so enchanting. It's this Venu Madhuri is very, very powerful. And imagine, you know, Krishna plays in the flute and he talks to each gopi, calling their name, and each cow they hear, Krishna is calling me personally. Krishna has this incredible potency of relating to people in a personal way. He can be with thousands of cowherd boys, but each cowherd boy thinks of him, that he's talking to him personally. completely satisfied with the relationship. So the Krishna's flute and Krishna's rupa, his form, his beauty, is what attracts everybody. And so Krishna's beauty, when we get to the point in our devotional service to be able to meditate like the Goswamis used to meditate, and there was somebody was telling the story about Rupa Goswami was meditating, and this devotee came in, and Rupa Goswami was, and there was some pastime, and he laughed, but he was laughing at the pastime that was going on with Krishna, and the devotee, you know, felt offended. But you know, because when we get absorbed in the Lord's pastime, you get that concentrated meditation, that will give us much pleasure. So I'm going to stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
And the demons in the same body, but in this, not this lifetime, I'm sorry, in Kali Yuga. So we've heard that in Satya Yuga, demigods and different planets and so on. My husband has been researching that, trying to find out where that came from, and nobody seems to know. Do you know? Does anybody know?
From Prabhupada's books?
Well, we can't find it.
Really?
We can't seem to find that.
The question is that where do we find in Prabhupada's books the reference that we are like half and half, like devotees and demons in one body? I've read that before.
You know, we say Kesma.
Yeah,
That verse that you mentioned is where?
Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Chaitanya Bhagavat.
I never keep track of numbers.
Pushkarli, okay. You have any comments on?
Thank you for your class. There was some water there if you needed it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And you were saying about the pastimes of the Lord, that Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the Krishna book just very soon after coming and giving us first cantos of Bhagavatam. Then he did Bhagavad Gita first or Krishna book first?
Bhagavad Gita first.
Gita, and then Krishna book, right?
Well, there were other books in between.
Other books.
You know, smaller. Was that?
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, yeah. Because he didn't know he was going to be around to complete Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Anyway, I've heard that. But yeah, Krishna book is so potent. And I remember, and thank you for pointing out the second generation, how we have a little bit of a laziness sometimes. When you're born with something, you take it for granted, you know. So yeah, unless we really study and practice, then yeah, we don't go deep, and so we don't get the full understanding and therefore the full taste. Mm-hmm. Like the well, you know, like the dry land, right? You have to dig deep to get the water to come. So like that, I was fortunate enough to have a little taste earlier, like 10 years or more, 15 years ago, and go deep a little bit, you know, to get some understanding. And I've kind of been surviving on that. Now I need to go deep again. But one thing you were saying about Krishna book and the Krishna's pastimes is that they give us such a taste that they do sustain us and they give us some understanding to keep coming back. Even though, like muscle memory, like anybody who does anything athletic, you know, working or something, you can do something without thinking about it after a while, because your mind just, it goes into the muscle memories, the neurons and whatnot, so you don't have to actually process it in your brain. So it's like that we get this taste for Krishna consciousness at some point in our lives, and then we just kind of go on that, run on that practice that is coming naturally, but then at some point we have to go deeper in order to get more taste, you know, to keep going, you know, to make progress. And so like that, I'm seeing that, what do you want to say about that? Oh, yes, my friend, you know, Jagannath Kirtan, he made a comment on Facebook that it's japa, like for myself and maybe other second generation devotees or any other devotees still aspiring to practice a nice japa, 16 rounds minimum. It's like he was making the comment, you know, we like to go to movies, like sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours, so what is that? That's the time it takes to chant 16 rounds. But yeah, we can watch a movie, we can watch a TV show, we can watch anything like that that'll take that amount of time. So he was like, well, why don't we have taste for japa like that? You know, and but the Lord's pastimes are like that. They're a movie, you know, that you get pulled into it and then you're like just mesmerized in this alpha state, you know, it's like a meditative state. So if we just had that taste and for the name, and if you go deep enough into the name, and of course in association with devotees who have that taste, and reading, like Prabhupada, he said, not just japa, but, you know, reading Bhagavatam every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then you get that taste because you're hearing, and then it goes in the heart, and then you can chant, you know, Shravanam, then Kirtanam. So just meditating about that, and like he's, and Jaggi was saying on there, well, maybe it's like a commercial break, you know, you chant for 4 rounds and you take a commercial break and you come back and chant for another 4 rounds.
Anyway, it's a good way.
Whatever you do, you know.
Whatever works for you.
Whatever works, right. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Jai. Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Just a little bit, I was thinking of... some of us aren't very intelligent, you know, by good association, hearing over a long period of time. So, in this one verse in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Prabhupada says, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master, because I was also thinking it's not second generation only that doesn't study Prabhupada's books. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he's not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness with love and devotion, render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If the devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain him. So even for the rest of us, there's still some hope that if we just engage in devotional service, chant, of course, what's it mean that with love and devotion is a simple thing, then somehow or other, all that's required will manifest by the mercy of Krishna and his internal potency.
A comment on your comment is that you know, ignorance is our worst enemy, because you know, we don't see what we need to do, because due to our modes, the modes of nature are very powerful, and through that cover of ignorance, we don't see, don't get the taste, and don't appreciate the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. It's unfortunate. We are just unfortunate souls covered by, you know, ignorance, layers and thick layers of ignorance. So we need to really apply ourselves. It's not a cheap process. We need to really make an effort, just like we make an effort to, you know, anything that we like to do. So we need to trust the Acharya and make an effort to in that direction, and we will get the results. Yeah, Prabhu. Pran Govind Prabhu.
Said that how the association means. If you see the quality of that person that really attractive towards Krishna consciousness that he has or she has, I'm not trying to. Maharaj made it very clear that when a devotee is very sincerely serving and he has a deep attraction towards Krishna, if I really genuinely want it, then to that devotee I should submit and make him feel affectionate towards me, so I can get. Association doesn't mean just to pat and just, you know, take pushar, hey, what's business, yeah, this family. It's not association, Maharaj did not say that. He says very clearly that how to progress. One who has love, associate with that devotee, you will get that. And it's very nice. Anyway, by the way, I just wanted to say, very nice class you gave. But Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book has a very speciality to me, I find. That in Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about 10 chapters, but the beginning of the chapter, it says,
the demigod and the rishi, they do not know. You should see. In Bhagavad Gita, also the chapter, text 14, he says, the demigod doesn't know my form. So who are the demigod playing now? Brahma and Shiva. These are the two people who are. And besides, the rest of the demigod doesn't have understanding what is the original form of Krishna. That's why Sachinma Maharaj also gets to he was here also for the invitation. They repeated the same thing. I don't know, I hope everybody caught it. Sachinma Maharaj also said there's a five aspect of the extension of Lord. I was very happy that to see that actually at once they are very common. One is that form of Krishna as Swayam is originally there, they are not everybody. Demigods do not know. Only Brahma and Shiva know because they are beautiful. So what the demigods they know? So the Srila Prabhupada in 2nd Canto, 6th chapter, I believe, he says that, Lord Krishna, like for example, 60,000 elephant power people cannot remove a little tiny finger. So how do you know he is Supreme Lord? Prabhupada gave the three points he gave in that part. Then another point is like bounded. He asked for a little piece. Holy Maharaj is an innocent boy. Brahman doesn't know really what he should ask. But then this same four names covered the entire universe, paralyzed the entire universe. Holy Maharaj found himself within the universe, was like really sharp. But Krishna put a little toe to the Shakuta suit and he smashed big noise. So my point was that they got, if they really want to benefit, Krishna says they do not know. I'm not saying Krishna says. If they give Krishna book of Prabhupada, they will get it. Because Krishna book is not the pastime, it is perfect of Siddhartha based pastime. Mm-hmm. That's why in so many pages, philosophy after philosophy to understand it. It's perfect Krishna book. It's not really Leela only. That's how it is. Siddhartha based perfect.
Jai. All glories to Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhu.
One appears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, trying to ensure he sees the Lord. And so he also said here that hearing from the right person is very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the mercy of the acharyas. They gave us so much to go. Bye, Jai. All glories to Prabhupada. Thank you.